If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
We'll be right back. You've been listening to Dorado 3, Part 2 from the New Deal's latest release, Phoenix. Everything old is new again with the New Deal. This Jamtronica band, who basically invented the genre back in 1998, have released a new album, Phoenix, and have welcomed Davide Dorenzo to the drummer's chair. For those that aren't aware, Dorenzo was actually the trio's drummer at their first gig back at the University of Guelph some two decades ago. This three-piece made up of Jamie Shields on keyboards and synths, and Dan Kurtz on guitar, and now Davide Dorenzo are back on the road exploring one another, their music, and their relationship with their fans. We caught up with Davide and wonder what brought him back into the fold, and that's where our conversation starts on the eve of their fall tour.
You know, it's Loblaws. I'm not kidding, actually. I was shopping at Loblaws, and I looked up and I saw Jamie Shields. He was shopping for some oranges, and I was shopping for some lemon, I guess, some lemons. And I looked up and I said, "Jamie, what's going on? I haven't seen you in a long time." And so that's how it kind of started. And I just said to him, I said, "Man, it'd be great to get together and play sometime. It's been so long, you know." And there was no ulterior motive. It was just it'd be great to play. And he went, "Yeah." He had this kind of look, like a sort of a light bulb went off in his head kind of look. I mean, looking back in retrospect, that's what it looked like. But I kind of didn't think anything of it. And, you know, a few weeks had gone by, and he gave me a dingle and said, "Well, why don't you come by to Dan's house and we'll play a little bit." And that's how it started.
Was sitting back down in the chair behind the kit just like riding a bike with those guys? Did you just feel like it was old home week and you were ready to go?
And well, in some ways, yes. In other ways, no. With all due respect to Darren and Joel, great musicians, musicians that I admire and have looked up to for a long time, that I've known for a long time. They developed a sound, you know, it's what happens when you play together for a long time. So, was it like riding a bike? I mean, it was comfortable to play with them again, but it had been many, many years. It had been probably 17, 18 years or longer.
Yeah.
It had been that long. But Jamie and I actually, you know, I remember subbing in for One Step Beyond when Jamie was in that band.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan and I knew each other even before that. So there's that familiarity that was established on a foundational level. The New Deal had developed a real sound over the last number of years. And I felt like, I don't even want to call it catch up, but I had to do a lot of work. Let's just say that, to get to kind of where I am right now with them. You know, I feel like now it feels like riding a bike, without a doubt. Now it does, but truthfully, it's taken a little bit of time.
What specifically is the most difficult thing for a drummer to sit down and, you know, this is a very organic, live, spontaneous, improvised kind of thing. Is there something specific that you listen for or watch when you're listening to Jamie and Dan play? What is it that you have to do to sort of train your ear and train your body, I guess, to be comfortable in that role?
I think it's all really about trust at the end of the day. I have a real passion for improvisation.
Right.
And so I think that helps a lot. And I play and have played in groups that have more established repertoire, where there's a certain expectation. The expectation with the New Deal is to be in the moment. And I think I'm not even sure it has anything to do with being a drummer in the New Deal. I think it just has everything to do with being a member of the New Deal, be it the front of house, you know, where Kevin takes care of business, or Dan's playing, or Jamie's playing, or in this case, my playing. I think you have to believe and trust in the moment and believe and trust in each other. And that's the only way it works, you know, with regards to, you know, the magic that the New Deal brings and has brought for, you know, almost two decades.
Well, this is a band that almost invented a genre on their own. I mean, there are others who followed suit, and there are others who gained prominence right around the same time. How aware were you, since you weren't necessarily playing with these guys, how aware were you of what they were doing and the kind of music that they were making in a live setting?
I would need to go back a little bit before I can answer that question. You know, my brother owned a cafe, like Mom, a number of years ago. I'm trying to think of how long ago now. I would say it was around 1990. Let me think about this. It's probably like 94, 95.
Right.
And I pitched this idea to him. I was basically like, look, you know, why don't you have live music here once a month? I'll be the host and I'll bring in guests, but I'll be the drummer. So I brought in all my great friends, you know, to play, and it was always different. So when I invited Dan and Jamie to come in, I remember when we talked about it, it was like, well, what are we going to play? And I said, let's just improvise. Let's just play, you know, because I'd already played with Jamie in One Step Beyond, right. And they were kind of known as sort of an acid jazz band, as it was. So I just kind of thought, well, let's kind of maybe do something like that, but not have any, what's the word? There was no worry about form or anything like that. So let's just play. And that's kind of, I don't want to say that I started it, but that's how it kind of started. Mm-hmm. With regards to how it took off from that point, it happened organically, and their journey went that way and my journey went in another way. And I was very happy for them, because when I first started hearing about the actual band named The New Deal, I remember seeing them at a couple of festivals and really going, yeah, like being blown away and going, yeah, guys, you know, like, this is awesome. It was infectious. And they had a whole language going on stage, you know, with, you know, changing the key and it was just awesome. So I knew about them, in answer to your question. Yeah. I sort of was aware of them in the beginning stages, Ira, soon thereafter, I kind of lost touch with them because I was really busy doing what it was that I was doing.
Sure.
So we kind of lost touch, and every now and then I'd hear about them, but I didn't, truthfully, I didn't realize what kind of a splash they had made south of the border. So, you know, I got to say, you know, ignorance is bliss in this kind of situation, and I definitely fit that bill without a doubt.
You played your first live show back with them in June of 2019, and were you aware of the catalog? I mean, I know that it's a little bit weird in this circumstance to be aware of the catalog and be playing songs that, you know, they've played before, because it is improv. And sure, there are original tunes that they want to be loyal to their audience and play some things live. But did it take a lot of practice to get up to speed with some of the older material? Or was this, we're starting fresh and Davide is going to play, you know, some of the new stuff, or we're going to make music with him in a new way?
I think a little bit of both, you know. We're doing both of those things. I think what was paramount, what was of utmost importance was the was the fact that it was important that we spent time together and played together. The tunes were kind of introduced later. Did I know their repertoire? Again, the ignorance card comes out screaming. It's not like I didn't want to.
Yes.
I just think that there in certain cases in life, it's almost better not to know. You know,
right?
Because you come in to the situation with a fresh approach, and it changes. Just with that, it changes the dynamic. You know. So that's what really excited me about it. I have had to do some homework without a doubt, you know, with regards to listening to tunes, because the stuff that they've played, this is what's also interesting, the stuff that they have recorded, like these tunes mm-hmm. that they've recorded, are not necessarily the way they play them live.
Of course.
And it's different every single time. Mm-hmm. So, it's a very interesting combination of this is how it goes, but it might not go that way tonight,
right?
Or tomorrow night, or we may not call it, or we may not. They may just hint at the tune, and we never even go there. We just keep, on this jam, and it's really open ended. And at the same time, I still need to be aware of the tunes. So, I've had to play a lot of catch up ball. Yeah, you know.
Certainly your U of T Jazz Studies program prepared you for this more than probably playing with, you know, people who do jazz standards or people who do pop music. I mean, playing with Holly Cole or Alanis Morissette or Sarah Sleen is very different, I would imagine, from playing with the New Deal in terms of just your percussiveness and your loudness. I mean, you're one of three people on stage and there's no vocalist, so it must be a totally, not foreign, but different from what you've been used to over the last little bit.
Well, it's different in the sense that, you know, you're walking on stage basically with, a group. You know, when I say a group, I mean Dan and Jamie without a doubt, but I also mean Kevin. And I mean the entire crew. I mean, you know, it takes everybody to make all this happen. So I'm including everyone. On a performance level, I mean, the difference is that it's really, truly improvised. We don't talk about a thing before we go on stage.
Right.
Nobody discusses anything. Like, we're actually talking, we might be talking about the Leafs before we come on, you know, we're going on stage. I mean, really, right. Honestly, the Raptors or our families. I mean, I don't know, but we're definitely not discussing the music. And it dawns on you as soon as you sit down at your instrument, you go, oh, all right, well, let's see what happens here. that's the difference. But you know, that being said, everything that I've learned from the time I started hearing music, you know, has led me to this place as well. So it's a combination of all of this education and experience, and it's as far as I'm concerned, it's all come to a very interesting place in my life at this time. Like, the New Deal has come at a very important time in my life. I've got to say, I feel grateful. I really do. And I'm really excited about where it's going to go, you know, where it is at present and where it'll take us, because I think sky's the limit. I'm thinking of some pretty cool experiences,
ahead.
That are ahead, yes, absolutely.
Let's talk a bit about Phoenix, because it is the latest release. Of course, before a band goes on tour, it's always good to release new music. And when they have a new drummer in the fold, obviously, again, good to have new music so that everybody's comfortable with what's going on. If I understand it correctly, you guys were doing some of these improv jams at Dan's house and you pressed record, and that's kind of how we got Phoenix, right?
Absolutely. Yes, it's exact. And I'm almost positive that there was very little editing, if at all. I don't think there was much at all with regards to editing. So, again, this kind of goes back to what I was saying. The most important, you know, as far as the agenda was concerned, it was like, let's develop a sound together. Let's bring this together again and see what, you know, what comes of it. And, you know, we're really proud of Phoenix and I, you know, they were some pretty cool snapshots, you know, of some cool moments of getting together at Dan's place, you know.
The record itself is kind of in three parts. There's Grasping Thin Air, Dorado, and Machina Electrica. These are all obviously names that you guys came up with after, or whoever put this compilation of jams together came up with those names. When you were playing, did it feel like, you know, this is stuff that's good enough for other people to hear? I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, being so fresh back in the chair, that you'd ever think that this stuff from early jam sessions would see the light of day so quickly.
You know, it definitely boosts your confidence. You know, yeah. It kind of gives you a little bit of a, hey, we're actually, you know, we're doing something right here. You know, it feels good. Obviously, for us to release it, that says a lot, you know, with regards to, you know, the little time we've spent together. So, it definitely gives us a boost without a doubt. Did we know that? I don't think any of us knew that we'd be releasing it as an album. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here we are. We're doing it, and clearly we have enough confidence in it that we want to share it, you know, with our fans. And hopefully they'll dig it, you know?
So from the fire into the frying pan, you are going to be on the road like right out of the gate here. October 4th, you're in Saratoga Springs, New York, and then you do some shows in October, and then November you're on the road for most of November. Are you psyched to be able to be close to these guys again and spend some time talking Leafs, because they're doing phenomenally well, hopefully. Well, they did last night anyway, but but more generally about, you know, getting to know them again. I mean, you know, because it has been a bit of time, and it's nice that you bump into each other in the citrus aisle at Loblaws, but you definitely want to get to know these guys, right? Not just on stage.
I think we always had a connection. I mean, without a doubt, you know, we've known each other for many, many years, and we always liked each other. I think that helps in ways that I can't really describe unless you've been out on the road. Mm-hmm. Performing with bands. And, you know, the music is super important, and you know, chemistry is super important, but the chemistry offstage, I believe, sort of takes precedence. You know, like it's the most important thing, because it affects what you do on stage. So am I looking forward to getting to know them more on the road? I already feel like I know them, but I consider them brothers. I've known them. I considered them brothers many years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, call it a reunion of sorts. I'm excited about the music that we're going to play, without a doubt, but we're able to hang out off stage and have a bunch of laughs. We can have breakfast together. We can have lunch together. Yeah. And we're not avoiding each other.
Right.
Which is a good sign. And hopefully that translates in the performances as well. As far as I'm concerned, it did in June and in our show in California not that long ago. So, you know, in a nutshell, I'm super excited, you know.
I think chemistry is so important because you are, you know, fingers in a hand, so to speak. I think it was Bob Weir or Jerry Garcia who made that comment about the way their band sort of did improv music. You really do have to sort of be aware of each other and how each other's day has gone and all of that, because you're in the moment. And so you have to make decisions about where people are going and how people are playing in the moment. There's no charts. There's nothing. You're on this ride without a seatbelt.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible. I mean, what an opportunity, you know. what an amazing opportunity. It just kind of, you know, kind of fell on my lap. They say timing is everything.
Yes.
You know, it just kind of felt like everything sort of landed in its right place. I love being in that situation, Ira. Like, truly, it's not like it happens often. So I'm taking advantage of it, and I'm a real believer in appreciating the moment and living in the moment. And what an opportunity to be in a band that subscribes to that in every way. I mean, wow, you know.
This band has also been made not just by Dan and Jamie and the two drummers before you, but also by the fans. I mean, the fans take this band very seriously. They have voracious appetites for this band's music. They've been trading tapes for the last 20 years. They probably know your bio and history better than you know it. Are you excited to meet these fans, to see how they react to the new tunes and the old tunes and everything else?
Of course I am. You know, I definitely don't get too caught up in the other stuff, and I'm not really sure how else to describe that. For me, the most important thing for me has always been to perform and be in the moment. To me, that's the most important thing. Hopefully that speaks for itself. I've chosen not to be a social media guy. I have no social media presence whatsoever. That has been a choice. So if that says something, there you have it. Truthfully though, am I excited to meet the fans? Absolutely. And am I excited to play for the fans? Absolutely. 100%.
Well, congratulations on this reunion and on Phoenix, and for taking the time. We thank you for taking the time with us, and we're psyched for you, man. We've known Jamie for a long time, and we're psyched for him, obviously, too, to sort of have this breath of fresh air and this new wind behind their sail. And we can't thank you enough for taking the time tonight. Really appreciate it. Get some rest. You're on the road tomorrow.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure, Ira. Thank you kindly.
Well, that's exciting and super in-depth. I can't imagine how difficult it must be to sit in the chair once occupied by two different people, but I don't get the impression that Davide Dorenzo is intimidated at all. Sounds like he's got it all pretty much figured out, more or less. So that should be super cool. Catch the New Deal on the road and do listen to Phoenix. It's both inventive and spectacular. For more on the New Deal, visit thenewdeal.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to another track off of Phoenix. Here is Machina Electrica, Part 4.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.